for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2017 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday afternoon, November the 24th, 2017, Deborah Vales is the speaker of the afternoon, teaching on Building a Spiritual Hedge.
Welcome, everyone. Good to be here this afternoon, and I'm really thankful to God to be here, amen, and for all that God is doing, all the word we've already received. It's been awesome. Enjoyed the word last night. Randy was really good. Praise God. Thank God for it. And even this morning, all of it has been good, and we thank God for it. So we're going to go on, and I'm going to be talking about a subject entitled Building a Spiritual Hedge. And you know, a lot of times we think of hedges and walls as things to keep things out, and it can be negative, but I'm going to give you some points today that is positive for your life. Because God gives us in His Word how we can grow stronger in the Lord. And so that's what we want to talk about just for a few minutes this afternoon, building a spiritual hedge. Father, I thank You for this day. We thank You, Lord, for this time and this session. And I ask You, Lord, as we go into Your Word, that You would anoint Your Word, Father God. Thank You for everyone here. I ask, God, that You just bless us today. And Lord God, we thank You for everything that You've already done. We thank You for that You're going to do, Father. We love You and we appreciate You for the liberty that You've given us in Your Word. We thank You for the freedom in the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, You have Your way. We trust You, Lord, with everything, with our life. We give this time over to You now, Lord God, and I ask You to have Your way now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Building a spiritual hedge. Hedges are biblical. The purpose for hedges are threefold. Hedges are made to set boundaries, to protect you from intruders, to buffer or hedge from obstruction by enemies, and to keep foxes or trespassers from breaking the wall. All right, I'm going to give you 10 hedges today, okay? Number one, we must daily build a hedge by spending time with the Lord. And of late, I've been doing a lot of messages online, and the Lord has really been having me impress upon the people the importance of relationship with God. It's one thing to know of Him, okay, but it's another thing to know Him personally. And a lot of people don't know Him personally. And in order to get to know the Lord personally, you have to spend time with Him. You have to talk to Him. And I'm learning that, Jane, the importance of that, of my own life. You know, sometimes we think, you know, I've been saved since I was 9 years old, but how much do I know Him? Do I really know Him? And you can know Him. You can know Him intimately, closely, as a friend. And when I think of prayer, I think of sitting down, talking. That's what it is when you pray. Talk to God. He'll talk back. He will communicate with you. It began in the garden. Because God's design was for man to be created to communicate with Him. But the enemy sought to break that. And so Jesus made a way for us to get back to God. And thank God for that. Thank God that He died for us, that He rose, and now He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and He's still making intercession for us. He's still making a way, sister, for us to get back to God, because that's the ultimate, is God wants His children. He loves us, and I thank God for that love. So we must spend time with God. I'm not going to ask you how much time you spend with Him on a daily basis. I won't do that. Praise the Lord. I'll wait till I get home and then I ask them. Amen. So listen, God wants quality time with us daily. We must love Him with all of our heart, body, soul, and mind. We must guard our time and not waste time. Amen. Now, many of you know that 24 hours in a day goes pretty quickly. All right. You demons, fly, go away in Jesus' name. Bind you. Just fall to the ground and die in Jesus' name. Yes. Enough of that. Anyway, I don't like flies and bugs. Okay. Pest. In the name of Jesus. Okay. Okay, so listen. We got to guard our time. The enemy will sneak up to try to distract you to get your time. So be a watcher of your time. Don't, when you see that there's distractors or things happening, in other words, if you have a set plan, a set goal for your day, and you see that every day something's happening, especially when it's time for you to pray or read your Bible, all kind of stuff can happen. The phone will ring, you know. Forget something's on the stove and it boils over and you jump up to go get it. Next thing you know, you're doing five other things when you had a mind, come on now, to read your Bible. So we have to really guard our time. Amen. So don't waste time. Don't allow the enemy to sneak your time, and don't allow people. It's not always the enemy doing these things. Sometimes it's us. Sometimes it's our negligence. Okay, so we have to watch what we're doing. So don't waste time. The way to put a hedge around your time is to give God a special place each day, each and every day. I make it a point to give God time. And I let nobody in that space. Now, I've had to discipline myself to do that. And there have been times when the enemy's tried to sneak in and take it. I'm like, it took me too long to get here. So you can't take that spot. So whatever spot that is, it's between you and God. And we each have to build a relationship with the Lord. Every one of us have to go to God for ourselves. Okay? All right. We must read the Word, meditate on the Word, study the Word. Now, I'm doing a study right now. I'm in a class. And a good definition of between reading and study. You know, you can read it, and that's just, you just pick some scriptures and just go through and just kind of read it, meditate on it. But when you begin to study, you're dissecting it. You're sitting down and you're saying, wait a minute, now I wonder what that says in Hebrew or Greek. You know, Randy had those definitions. I'm glad you did that. I wrote all that stuff down. I want to know a little bit more. So if you want to go deeper, you got to study. Yeah. All right, everybody should do a little bit of studying on their own. Because what happens is the Word becomes more personal to you. You can apply it. And that's the purpose. I study to apply it to myself. Before I can give this to you, I got to have it for myself. You know what I mean? Because it's easy to put an essay together or a speech together and read it to you. But if I don't really have it in my heart, what good is it going to do? Okay? So the Word, there's so much in God's Word. There are treasures. There are hidden treasures that God wants to reveal to us. And it takes us being disciplined to get it. And every one of us in here can get it. Amen? All right. Now we know the enemy is a master waster of time. The time waster is sent to each of us every day. But you and I can put a hedge of prayer about our time and declare our days will not be wasted and God will have priority in our time. I'm going to read Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 9. Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 9 says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I commanded thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when you rise up." Now that's a lot of talking, isn't it? How many of us talk about God like that? That's a lot. Amen. Okay. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Somebody's arm is going off. All right. Hallelujah. And thou shalt write them. Okay. That's a sign, man. Yeah, that's a distraction. So we must be preaching the right word today, right? Amen. Okay. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. That's how much word we need every day. If you want to be victorious in your walk with God, you got to have the word. You got to know him. He will help you. He'll give you instruction. He will lead you. He will guide you. He'll give you wisdom. We must pray and we must stay in the word of God. You can never talk about God's word enough. You know, I heard this, I said this the other day. I heard Billy Graham say this, or someone asked him some time ago, if there was anything he could do over again, what would it be? And he said this: I would read the word more. And this was a few years ago. He's 99 now. And he's still talking about relationship with God. So when I think of that, I'm thinking, oh, I ain't reading the word enough. I haven't worn out enough Bible. Who was that that they said wore out a Bible every 6 months? Did somebody say that today? Somebody said that. Now, to wear out a Bible that much? That's a lot, ain't it? Now, it's not to condemn anybody, but it's just to let you know, for someone like Billy Graham to say that, and I'm thinking, this man in the Bible all the time. But he said, I haven't read it enough. So that just let me know, me personally, Lord, I need you more. I need to hunger and thirst after him. And when we do that, will be filled. He'll help us. So number one, spend time with the Lord. Number two, we must build a hedge about our minds. Very important. You know the enemy attacks your mind. Okay? Romans 12, very familiar scripture. Romans 12. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, I want God's perfect will, not the permissive. Not just going along, you know. So we can have his perfect will by, number one, being transformed, having our mind renewed in the word, and finding out what's good, what's acceptable, and what's perfect. Okay? So do not, another version says, do not change yourselves to be like the people of this world, but be changed within by the renewing of your mind. Okay? We must be renewed in the spirit of our mind, according to Ephesians 4:23, so that the Spirit of the Lord can keep a hedge about our mind. Now, when we do this, that's going to keep the enemy out. As I was studying this, I began to ask God. I said, Lord, I want these hedges up to where the enemy stays out and you stay in, and I get closer to you. Because the closer you get to God, the further away you get from the enemy. Now, he wants us to learn to fight and win. Some of us battle things over and over and over again until we learn the principle of winning. And we're winners. And God gives us how to win in the Word of God. We must build a hedge about our minds by casting down the vain imaginations. Okay? By thinking on things and thoughts from above. Think about what you think about during the day. Think about what you keep on your mind on a daily basis. Okay? We must have the mind of Christ. Hold on to His thoughts, His purposes, and His desires. You see, when you begin to surrender your complete will to God, you will begin to think differently. All right? When we begin to surrender to Him, it's no more what I want. It's what He wants. Now, I'm reminded of as Abraham that had to go take his son up and sacrifice him. But you know, God gave him back. And I believe when God gave him back, He looked at his son different. Because he didn't idolize him. He said, wait a minute, God, you gave him back. Now that's a precious commodity. You see, sometimes it takes us, thank you, Holy Ghost, being a sacrifice, giving that thing over to God so He can take out the impurity. Come on. And give it back to you, and you appreciate it. Amen. And recognize it's not mine, it's God. I'm going to treat it right. Oh my God, when you can lay your life down and be a sacrifice, as Paul said, I die daily. So the life I live by the faith of God. So when God picks you up, like He's done me in so many other ways, and many of you, amen, and you recognize what God has done, it's no more my life now. It's His. My life don't belong to me no more. I done tried that. Okay. I've been there. Done that. Have the t-shirt. But when you really die, oh, my shaking. Under the ocean. When you really die, you recognize whose you are. That your life is not your own. You've been bought with a price. Hallelujah. We can never pay that price. So when you really become a living sacrifice, it's no longer about you. It's about Him. So everything we do, Brother Merle, it's about Christ. I think the Bible says, in Him we live and move and have our being. Hallelujah. That's what I believe Abraham learned in giving up his family, giving up Lot. Even the thought of maybe not having a child, but God promised it. And when God did it, He gave him back. Hallelujah. But Abraham was able to order his life according to God's will. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to walk by faith, not by sight. So we must have a changed mind. Thank you, Lord. The enemy wants us to lose our mind, and he wants to drive us crazy. Come on. By getting us caught up with all kind of foolishness. Worried about things. Huh? Handling things ourselves. When God is saying, let me have it. Come on. I love the testimony Brother Burrow gave. How him and his wife prayed. He sought God. When God spoke, that was it. Do you believe when God speaks to you? Come on. Do you really believe if God gives you a word, everything going to be all right? Don't worry about it. I'm going to make a way. Do you believe Him? You got to take God at His word. Because the Bible tells us, don't worry. Don't have anxiety. Don't fear about anything, but by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, hallelujah, will keep you. I'm a witness of that. God's peace will stand with you when you're being troubled, when things ain't going your way. Come on, God's peace will stand with you. And you have to know that. That's what kept our brother. And that's what keeps others. When you know God is with you, you can sleep. All right. I'm reminded of Peter. They chopped off James' head. Or whatever they did. Killed him. Right? Peter was next. He was in prison. And they had him guarded pretty good. They had the prison all shut up. They had guards beside him. And they had him chained. And there's no way he's going to get out. But the Bible says they began to pray. They were over at the house, you know what I mean? You know, where you go from house to house. We don't do that much now. No, hell, we go house to house praying and having church every day. You know, we get good to have church once a week sometimes. But anyway, yeah. So they were praying. Now Peter's all locked down. And it looked like he was going to go down. But he went to sleep. How many of us would go to sleep if we knew the executioner was waiting on us the next day? I don't know about me. But anyway, the Bible says that he sent an angel. He sent an angel in prison. Now that's on this side of Calvary, so it actually happened, y'all. Real angel. It wasn't no fake, fictitious angel. It was real. Come on. Went up in the prison, unlocked his chains, went on through the gate, and struck Peter by the side and told him to get up. And you know, he was so comfortable, he had took his coat off. He was asleep. And his shoes. Come on. Okay. He took his shoes off. Put your sandals on, Peter. Put your coat on. It's time to go. So Peter, you know, kind of had, probably had sleep in his eyes, like, thinking, is this a dream or what? He followed the man out the gate, all the way out, wherever they were. And when he came to himself, and the angel was finished with his work, he went on his way. Peter came to himself and found himself outside the gate. God delivered him. God set him free. But I believe Peter had a mind. Lord, no matter what you do, I'm going to serve you. And we have to have a made up mind that no matter what goes on in our life, I'm going to serve you. If they take me, praise God, to the chopping block, I'm going to serve him. Now, that's the kind of determination we need. You've got to have a made up mind. Amen. Physically, going through illness. When God speaks a word, I remember in 1988 when I laid in that hospital and the Lord said, you shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Not knowing what all was going on inside my body. Not knowing, praise the Lord, that the big orange-like tumor was cancer. Praise the Lord. But God, hallelujah, heal my body. Praise the Lord. And the word of the Lord is still going on. Praise the Lord, because I'm not dead. I'm alive. And I'm declaring, glory to God, the word of the Lord. Come on, somebody. Praise the Lord. Yeah, clap them hands and give God the glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It takes a made-up mind. On today. Hallelujah. You don't give up. You don't have worry. You don't let the enemy crowd your mind. Because if God has given you specific words, things that he will do for you, and it looks like it ain't happening, hold on. Don't let go. Because God ain't forgotten. He's not forgotten. He's a God of his word. And since I'm still watching God perform his word, that's why I'm a fool. Which y'all know that. I'm a fool for Christ. Because I know where he's brought me from. I know the things that he's brought me through. So I have no choice, Brother Merle, but to do the will of God. You've got to have a made up mind. You've got to have a mind that no matter, I'm going to talk a little bit about that at the end. You've got to have the type of mind that no matter what goes on, you're going on. You've got to go on. Listen, worry tears down the hedge. Get out of worry. Because every time you start worrying, everything stops. Because then you have the possibility of complaining and murmuring. And everything stops when you start worrying, complaining, murmuring, and grumbling. God won't hear you. So if you're over in the back territory, repent. Ask God to forgive you. Come on out of there. Get on out from that territory. Because look in the Bible, and every time what happened to Israel, when they complained, what happened? Yeah, they ran into trouble. That's right. It wasn't good. It's no good. So it won't do you no good. But this, I don't like that. And how come this and that? They keep coming after me. They don't like me. Well, so what? They don't like you. Maybe they don't need to like you. Come on, somebody. Maybe it's a good thing they don't like you. Some rejection is good. Some folk, you need them to reject you. Come on, somebody. Stop looking at it so negative because they slam the door in your face. Hallelujah. Keep going. Go to the place called next. Glory to God. Keep moving. If that door closed, another one will open 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 more. Come on, somebody. You don't want the devil's door to open for you anyway. Hallelujah. I'd rather God open one door than 6 open and there's a bunch of demons I got to deal with. Come on, somebody. Jezebels and everything else. We don't need all that. We already battle enough witchcraft as it is. Everything that glitters ain't gold. But anyway, okay. I meant to teach something. Calm back down. It's the truth. And listen, I heard this from a man of God recently that said, you know, you want the God things in your life, not necessarily the good things. There's a lot of good things that come my way, but they're not God things. You know, there's a lot of good doors that open, but they're not all God doors. But I know the ones that God saved for me to walk through. And those are the ones I will run through. Come on, because then you got God's grace, God's mercy. Come on, he'll grace you. He's gracing me to do what I'm doing right now. Because yesterday, it looked like I don't know where I was going to go. You know, everything turning upside down. And I'm like, what in the world? Head just swimming. But I'm healed now. Man, I'm healed. No pain, I'm healed. Yes. Jerry laid hands on me last night, and I still had a little bit of pain right there in the back. And when she finished, and she kept talking to me about, you know, find out the stuff, you know, I'm like, okay, Lord, whatever it is, now take it out. And I'm thinking, I really was thinking hard, like, okay, what's in my life that need to go? Who do I need to forgive? You know, just to be on the safe side, forgive them. Just forgive them. Forgive mama, daddy, whoever. Forgive them. It don't hurt you to do it. Just in case. Come on, somebody. You don't just take things for face. Well, Lord, that's it. I forgive them. Yeah, sure. So, whatever you need to do in my life, hey, I'm an open book. Amen. Come on, somebody. But I tell you what, the headache left. Amen. And I thank God for healing, because healing is what? The children's bread. Oh, yeah. So guess what else? Thank you, Lord. Vain thoughts tear down the hedge. Drinking and drugs tear down the hedge. Man, we ain't gonna be drinking. I know nobody in here drink, right? Okay, if you do, repent. I just say that. Just repent and quit drinking. Okay? You don't need to be drinking and drugging and doing that stuff, because you know what happens? People try to justify these things. It tears down your temple. Okay, that's what it does. It don't help your body. It tears it down. So don't do it. Ask God to deliver you. All right. We must mind our business, keep our minds on things of wisdom and wise counsel. So that tells me I ain't got no business gossiping, talking about other people, slandering. You know, don't do that. You tear the hedge down. Okay. All right. We must not allow our minds to run away with us, but we must keep our minds in subjection to the Word of God and pure thoughts. Purity builds age. Now, the next one. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, according to 1 Corinthians 3:16. We must build a hedge with our tongues, for the tongue can defile the whole body. So that means you can speak life or death with your tongue. The Bible says, I think it says, life and death is in the power of the tongue. So I had to learn the benefit of declaring and decreeing the Word of God. You know, I used to hear that when I was younger, like, yeah, it is true though. It is really true. The more you put the Word of God in the atmosphere, the better off you'll be. Because the enemy won't stay around you. Trifling folk won't stay around you when you begin to really walk the Word. Okay? We must use our bodies as instruments of righteousness in order to build a hedge for our body, which is not for fornication and evil acts. Okay? So the Bible says if you commit fornication, for example, you sin against your body. That's why people get sick. Okay? Because you're inviting things in that's not supposed to be there. Okay? We must take care of our bodies, eat right, exercise, be clean, get proper rest, and be careful that we speak what we speak over our bodies. Okay? To build a hedge over our bodies, we cannot join our bodies to whoredoms or sexually unclean acts and unions. So anything that's unholy, we don't need to be connected to that. Okay? We must also cancel generational curses over our bodies. We must build a hedge against infirmity, disease, premature death, and accident. All right. So one scripture you could read a whole chapter, you could pray over your life, is Psalm 91.
Yes.
Psalm 91 is a psalm to pray. Now, do you all know what I mean by that? Y'all understand what I mean by praying that psalm? By literally going to the psalm and praying it? Do you want me to give you an example of it? Okay, I will. Psalm 91. Let's go there. Psalm 91. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So we're going to pray this. And Father, I thank you that I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And Lord, I'm going to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Lord, I'm going to say that you're my refuge and my fortress. I'm going to trust in you, Father. Lord, you will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. I thank you, Lord, that you cover me with your feathers and under your wings. I trust your truth is my shield and buckler. Lord God, I will not be afraid of the terror by night nor the arrow that flies by day. Father God, I will not be afraid of the pestilence that walketh in darkness nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. Lord, 1,000 shall fall by my right side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come nigh me. Thank you, Lord, that my eyes shall behold and see the reward of the wicked. Thank you, Lord, that you have made the Lord, you're my refuge. Hallelujah. The Most High, you're my habitation. Lord, I thank you that no evil shall befall me, neither shall any plague come nigh my dwelling. For Lord, you're going to give your angels charge over me to keep me in all your ways. And they're going to bear me up in your hands, Lord, in case I dash my foot against the stone. Lord, I thank you that I will tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shall trample under my feet. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, you've set your love upon me. Therefore, I will deliver. You will deliver. And God, I thank you that, Lord, you will set me on high because you have known my name. Father, I thank you that I'll call upon you and you will answer. Father God, I thank you that, Lord, you'll be with me in trouble. You'll deliver and honor. Thank you, Lord, with long life, I will satisfy you and you will show me your salvation. Amen. Pray it. Just pray. Pray the word. Because when you put the word in the atmosphere, God goes right and makes sure that it's accomplished. It won't return back void. So if the enemy gets on your heel, you just get to the word. Psalm 37 is another psalm that I pray a lot. Okay? Just an example. Thank you, Lord. All right. We must build a hedge about our emotions. Remember, we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't walk by what we see or feel. Okay? I remember, you know, years ago when I was a lot younger, and tragedies and things would happen in my family. You know, people would die, somebody would get sick. I get a call, they want me to come home. Everything stops. I mean, I would just become a wreck. And there were some of them times I don't think God really wanted me to go home. But because of my faith, because I was so wrapped up with my family, everything stopped. But I've learned when things happen now, the first thing to do is to pray. Because when you're driven by your emotions, sometimes the decisions we make cause problems. Can cause financial problems down the road. You see, I remember one year I literally went home 6 times in 1 year. This thing happened, that thing happened. One of my nieces died in a car accident. And I mean, no longer when I would get home. Something else happened here, I got to go back. But I wouldn't stop to think, should I be doing this? So don't let your emotions get the best of you when things happen. You've got to pull back, get in God's face and find out, okay, God, what are you saying in this? What do you want me to do? Because a lot of times, you know, you're right, roller coaster, you know. So we walk by faith. We don't walk by sight. And if God tell you no in a situation, it's no. Get your hands off. We mess up stuff when we put out our hands and stuff. You know, children get in trouble and they fall down. And the Lord said, no, don't get Johnny out of prison this time. Don't go down to the county jail and pay the $100 to get him out. That's just an example. Here you go with your little $100. That's my boy. Leave the boy in there. They will never learn. I told my 2 children when they were growing up, I said, now there's one place you 2 don't want to go. Don't go to jail. My boy went one day. Guess what? He stayed. They said, well, he's going to have to stay there 5 days. Well, he was 16 years old, and he had a gun, a little BB gun. But what happened was he was in a car with some folks, and he pointed the gun outside the car. And there was a soldier driving behind them. So, of course, he gonna think this boy got a gun. Call the police. The next day he's at school. They called me up there. And I didn't know what I was up here for. So I'm sitting here and the assistant principal strutting around like he owned the place. I said, what in the world? Why would this boy? Anyway, and it was almost like the enemy really was happy that my boy was in trouble. The way he was strutting around. You know, you can see stuff like that. You know, try to put word curses on him, all this stuff. You know, he ain't gonna be nothing. All this, I'll bind that in Jesus' name. I still didn't know what was going on. So I'm sitting here. His daddy in the hospital. He's sitting there looking like a little, he knew he was in trouble. And finally, the assistant principal said, so, Jonathan, what's this with this gun? And I look like, yeah, what is it with this gun? Long story short, because he had a weapon in the state of Colorado, mandatory 5 days in jail. When that guy told me that, I'm sitting there going, you ain't putting my boy in jail. Well, there was the police. He said, ma'am, we're taking him to jail, and if we have to call for backup, we will do that. I said, you ain't got to call for backup. I mean, you know, I'm like, what in the world, boy? Anyway, I already told him, don't go. Because I wasn't sending him out. Understand. They said 5 days. I said, okay. So the police came. I sat there. I was crying. I said, can you not put him in handcuffs? The guy said, we got to. I said, can you not put him in handcuffs, please? I said, he ain't going to run. I promise you that. If he run, I'll slap him. He ain't going to run. So this is what they did for me. And it was God. I said, okay, we'll walk him to the car. And we'll put him in the car. So my boy said that, Mom, they did put the handcuffs on me after you were gone. I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but I'll tell you the gist of it. He was supposed to do 5 days, but I asked God for mercy. He did one. They let him out the next day. My boy today is saved, Holy Ghost filled. He works for the feds, and he's a captain on his way to be a, he's told me he wants to be a warden. So now when he could have been in the jail, he gonna run it. Come on, somebody. It takes prayer. Clap them hands and give God the glory. You got to pray. You see, I couldn't let my emotions so get me. You know, that I was going to tell the people off and all that. Go down there the next day. They told me, now look, you got to go to the courthouse. He going to be in chains and he going to be in handcuffs and you can't speak to him. I couldn't go down there acting a fool. But I prayed. I said, Lord, my son don't belong in there. Teach him a lesson. Don't let him go back no more. And it did, because he came home. He said, I will never go back again. That one pod taught him, because I told him, don't go to jail. Amen. Well, when you pray, don't let your emotions get the best of you. I had to learn that, okay? Listen, so we walk by faith, not by sight. The seat of our emotions is in the center of our human brain. Our emotions must have protection against wrong signals and wrong behavior. We cannot operate just on how we feel. Okay? God is a God of emotions and can feel what we're going through. But the Bible gives us authority over emotions to keep us balanced, according to 1 Peter 5 and 7. And that's what I had to do. I had to cast that care on the Lord because he cares. Thank you, Jesus. Okay? And in doing that, you will guard your thought life. Okay? We must pray, worship God in the spirit and in truth. All right? So we must walk by faith again and not by our feelings or by sight. Then we must build a hedge around our calling, vision, the things that God has given us. This can be validated in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. And that talks about the call of Jeremiah. And I can really relate to the prophet Jeremiah. God reminds him that he called him before he was even born. Okay? But that also, that he would be with him to help him fulfill the call. And when God called me in 1980, I was laying on my bed, minding my own business. I was serving in the United States Army. And God spoke to me and said, you are in man's army. I'm enlisting you in mine. I said, Lord, I said I'd do anything but preach. You know, I can sing. I don't want to talk. I don't want to get up in front of people. I really don't want to do that. Can't I do something else? No. So I tell you what, I'm here because God. Because if I had my way, I wouldn't have been a preacher. And he knows that. But you know what? I'm glad I accepted the call of God. Because I wouldn't want to be doing nothing but what God really wanted me to do. because there's peace in it. And I know that some people still don't believe in women preachers, all that kind of stuff. Well, that's them. I can't help that. You have to go to God for it, and you ask God about it, and let Him decipher it with you. But while you're there doing all of that, I'm going to go on and do what God told me to do. So you just go sit there, and you talk to God about this, this, and no, and we're going to go on. Amen. Ain't got time to waste time. But we must build a hedge around our calling and vision of the Lord. And God has given me a great vision for the work that I'm doing, that was that belonged to my late husband. And I'm honored that God would place such a work in my hands and a vision. And the Bible says without a vision, the people perish. But I thank God for the vision. I thank God for the call. I thank God for the validation. And so, you know, as God had to deal with Jeremiah, often He has to deal with us to accept who we are. Don't deny who you are. You accept the call. Prepare for the call. Pray for the revelation of the call. Obey the Lord's voice in the call. And don't compromise and delay in the call. Write down the vision. Make it plain. And finally, speak life. Prophesy the word of the Lord over the calling and vision that He's put in your life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Just a few more. You must ask God for an angelic hedge of protection. And we've already prayed Psalm 91. There is a hedge covering for us through the release of His angelic hosts. Now, how many of you know angels minister for us? They're here to minister to help us. And when you pray, God will send them. Yes. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 91 declares to us that God will give His angels. We already said it, but we'll say it again. His angels charge over us, and they do excel in strength and might. They have the power to provide protection where we cannot. Our prayers and our declarations and our prophetic utterances do activate them. Now, I don't know how many times we really hear a lot about angels protecting and watching over. And, you know, I wish we heard more about that. We hear a lot about demons. And we know demons are real. Yes, angels are real too. Come on now. The heavenly host is real too. And just like God had to open up Elijah's servant's eyes to let him see the host of protection around them. Don't you know God will do that for you? Praise the Lord. Our preaching activates them according to the word of the Lord. Angels throughout the Bible have been active in the affairs of mankind, and they've always brought help and assisted in the purposes of God. Angels are present when we dwell in the secret place of the Most High. We have to remember that we do not worship angels. That's not what they're there for. We don't worship them. We appreciate them when they come. All right. We are called to build a hedge of protection over our children, over the unborn, over our youth of every generation. Psalm 78 declares that we're to build a hedge over the future generations by telling them and teaching them about the works of the Lord. That's one thing I try to do with my grandchildren. I'm always talking to Jeremiah about the word, and my other little grandchildren, when I'm around them, I teach them to pray, I tell them about Jesus, you know, and my granddaughter, you know, she'll get into something, or she'll ask a question, and she'll look at me, she said, Mima, I already know what you're going to ask me. And I said, what is that? Did I pray? Yeah, did you pray? Because they got to know how to pray. Got to know how to pray. We're called to teach them, to train them, to instruct them. And that's just something that I just believe in. And every opportunity I get to give them something about the Lord, I'm going to do it. I got one little grand, she's two, and she dances and she sings and she lifts her hands up. So every time I see her, are you praising Jesus? She throws her little hands up. Oh, she prays it.
I said, you praise him every day. Thank Jesus. Get down on your knees. Thank the Lord. And they do it because they've got pure heart. But that's when you start. You don't wait till they're 20 and 30. You start when they're babies. And every last one of them, I remember my little Delonte, he was in the little seat, and he was at my house one day. And I put my little recorder on, and I began to tell him, praise Jesus. He just, oh, he said, hallelujah. I said, oh, that's so sweet. I said, praise him. And he just got so exuberant, and he began to praise the Lord. He began his own little way. Praise the Lord. We got to teach them. This generation, we've lost the generation of young people, and we have to get them back. It's our responsibility to pour into them. Hallelujah. When my son was, before he was born, I got a prophetic word about him, and I was told to read to him, to read the Bible to him. And I did. We prayed over him. My son's a prophet. He has a prophetic anointing on his life. And the Lord has spared my son's life. Praise the Lord. Number one, he wasn't even supposed to be born. So having known that, if he hadn't been born, my little grandchildren wouldn't be here. Praise God. So they all have destiny. And it's my job to pray them into it. Praise the Lord. I ain't going to stop till I see them in their destiny. See my little Jeremiah preaching the gospel. He too has a call on his life. And I thank God for it. And your children, your grandchildren, begin to speak life over them. Amen. Not death. One thing I would never let people do with my children, I still don't, with my grandchildren. You know how they say they bad. Well, you can't say that to mine. It's still to this day. I won't allow it. Because when you put negative words in their ears, it goes into their spirit. And what you say is what you're going to get. So be careful what you say. We have to be careful. Don't let people speak negative over them. Okay, what you see, pray. Take them to the altar. Amen. So we must preach and teach. We must preach the truth, speak the truth in love. We must disciple every generation, teach them the law of the Lord. We must build a hedge by not compromising the word of the Lord. And then we must build a hedge about our nation and the borders of our nation. And we know America needs a hedge of protection that can only be maintained through prayer and fasting. The word declares in Psalm 33:12 that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. A national hedge is also built by righteous kings and righteous parliaments. A national hedge is built by righteous laws and justice for the widow, the poor, and the orphans. A national hedge is built when there's no idolatry in the land. We know we need a lot of help in America. We must continue to pray for America to come clean and continue to have hope for the salvation of our nation. As church leaders, we are called to pray first and foremost for our national leaders and our nation. And the Bible tells us to pray for all those in authority. Whether we agree, whether we do not agree, we're called to pray. It's our job. The church is the only one that can spiritually build this hedge. So we have a responsibility to pray. Right? We must build a hedge of moral consciousness to be restored for our nation and our families. And ourselves and Christian leaders. We need a moral hedge back in the house of God. Because there's a whole lot of stuff going on in church that's very corrupt. Look at all the exposure and all the stuff going on in the right now with the Senate and all these people coming out with this. You know, it's in the news. The Lord told me the other day, he said, you're going to begin to see a little bit more of it in church too. He's exposing. He's exposing this, all the sin going on. And it's going to come out more and more and more. So we got to pray. We got to pray. Because when you see it on that front, it's coming on down. Hallelujah. And I mean, I've never seen it to this magnitude. But it's okay because it has to happen. It needs to happen. God wants cleanliness, and He's calling for repentance. He's calling for us to truly, truly repent and get back to Him. Thank you, Lord. So we need a moral hedge back in the house of God. There are many corrupt church houses and corrupt pulpits. The hedge of morality rests upon truth and obedience to the Word of God individually, first of all. Okay? So it starts with you individually. Abortion is our nation's number one moral sin. And it is bad, among other things. The blood of these babies cry out for justice. A moral hedge is not built by popularity, but purity. So it's not good to be popular. And some people are in office to be popular. But it's not about that. We need purity back in America. And finally, we must put a hedge about our words. For death and life are in the power of the tongue, according to Proverbs 18 and 21. Words have power to build up or tear down. As believers, we must guard our words and let our words be few. According to James 1:19, it teaches us that we can build a strong hedge if we're slow to speak, quick to hear, and slow to get angry. We must make sure our words are seasoned with salt and that our words are wise and few. We must speak words of edification, which will build a hedge of protection. We build a hedge of words when we pray, prophesy, preach, and praise the name of the Lord. We build a hedge around our words when our words become the word of the Lord. Our words must be full of faith, life, and truth. Now, build spiritual hedges when we have a mind to do it. So we must have this. We must have a stayed mind, a willing mind, a set mind to do the will of God, a changed mind, a pure mind, a renewed mind, a sober mind, a wise mind, a right mind, and a persuaded mind. The Bible says concerning a willing mind that if you are willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. So it's my prayer today that as you build a spiritual hedge, you will also abound and increase in your walk with the Lord, being fully persuaded that He that has begun a good work in you will complete it. You must trust the Lord. Do not doubt Him, for He will not forsake you, and He will not disappoint you. I'm going to give you a few scriptures concerning renewing the mind, and then I'm done. Praise the Lord. The Bible says in Hosea 4:6 that the people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And He said, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. I don't know about you, but I don't want God to forget me. I don't want to live in an area of lack of knowledge. The lack of praying, the lack of reading the Word. I want God to be pleased and blessed. Amen. And then the Bible says that He'll keep us in perfect peace when our mind again is stayed on Him, Isaiah 26:3. The Bible says, as you think in your heart, according to Proverbs 23:7, so are you. Glory to God. Isaiah 55:8-9 says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Thank you, Jesus. I love Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Thank you, Jesus. Joshua 1:8, I love it. It says, "The book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night." Hallelujah. "That you may observe to do all according that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success." Now, if you lack wisdom, according to James 1:5-8, the Bible says, "Ask of God, because he giveth to all men liberally, he upbraideth it not, and it shall be given. But let him ask in faith." You must ask believing, trusting God. Do not waver. For if you waver, you're like a sea driven with the wind and tossed, and you're not going to receive. Why? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says in Galatians 6:3, "For if a man thinketh himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. And without God, we are nothing. But thank God, with him, hallelujah, he causes us to abound." Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, the Bible says, okay, in Philippians 4:7-8, it says, "The peace of God that passeth all understanding, it will keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honest, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatsoever is of a good report, if there's any virtue and praise, think on these things." When we begin to take on the mind of Christ, our thinking will change, our language will change, our behavior will change, our attitude will change. It's my prayer that you will build a spiritual hedge and let God be God in your life. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you today for your word. I thank you for your people. I thank you, Lord God, for everything that you are doing for us. And I ask you, God, to help us to build godly spiritual hedges in our lives. My God, help us to spend time in your word. Help us, Father, God, according to your word, that, Lord, as we spend time with you, we will grow. We will get to know you better. Father God, we thank you for changed minds, for renewed minds, for a right mind. We thank you, Lord, that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We want you to take our emotions. Father God, that we will walk by faith and not by sight. We thank you, Lord God, for the visions and callings of God on our lives. And we ask you, God, to mold and make and shape us, God, after your image, and help us to be the children of God that you're calling us to be. We thank you, Father God, for angelic protection, angelic hosts that are all around us, oh God. We thank you that the angels of the Lord encamp around about those that fear you, oh God. We thank you, God, that when we call, Father God, on your name and we call for help, you are right there. We thank you, Father God, for protection for our children, for our unborn children, our grandchildren. Oh God, generations down, and even more, Father God, that you would save them, that you would sanctify them, that you would cleanse them. My God, that they will be children taught of the Lord, and great will be their peace and undisturbed composure. We thank you, Lord, for giving us, God, how to pray for our nation, how to pray for our borders, how to pray for our president, how to pray for our leaders, Father God. We thank you for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding according to your word. We thank you, God, God, that you will restore, my God, even the houses of God, that you'll bring back morality, my God, that you will clean up, oh God, the pulpits, the ministries, the churches, my God, so many have gone awry, and God, doing their own thing, but we ask, God, that you would touch your body, touch your people, get a hold to your people, God, Father God, that we will begin to pray as never before, call on your name, my God, fasting and prayer, my God, until you turn things in our nation, in our world, my God, let true repentance fall. We thank you and we praise you, God, for words of life and not death. That God, we will speak your word. We will build up and not tear down. My God, I thank you today for everyone here. And I ask you, Lord, to bless and touch and minister. We thank you for this work that you're doing here. We thank you for the ministry. We thank you for those that have come to receive deliverance, healing, encouragement, edification, strengthening, comfort. My God, don't let anyone leave the way they came. My God, we thank you and we praise you, God, for life. We speak life and not death. We thank you, God, for hope today. We thank you for encouragement today. We thank you, God, that your complete, perfect, and whole will be done. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you. And before I take my seat, if there's anyone and you want prayer, maybe you've been having trouble in your mind, you've been struggling, I'll pray. We'll pray with you. If you want special prayer, we'll pray right now. Come right now. Anybody. Thank you, Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. And LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.